Good evening. I bring you greetings from Ghana. We have been in the midst of revival for 3 months now. It's something I will give up everything in this world for. Is the greatest thing God has done for me in this my present age, in my Christian journey since the time I gave my life to Christ, taking me to Ghana to experience what we're experiencing now. I don't have words, but what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do is to give you, even if it's a foretaste of what is going on, even if it's just a foretaste of it this weekend. When you leave here this night, the first group, you are going to change. Let me give you a scripture before we pray and sit down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There are levels of ministry. And there are levels of messages. There are levels of materials we used to build. I have never bothered about buildings. Even when houses are being built for me, I don't bother. I always come when they're finished. And they put keys, and it's now time to pack in. But for the first time, I decided to look into. And I realized that it's important for the owner of the house to look into what the builders are doing. It's very important. The reason is that quality exists at different levels. And sometimes you pay for the highest quality, and you get the lowest stuff because the people you engage, they want to maximize, you know, their profit. So then another thing is that sometimes you talk about quality without knowing what it is, and so it becomes very easy for you to be cheated. Ministry is a construction business, but the difference now is that what we're building is human lives. What we're building is human destinies. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," what he was talking about was not a physical building. It was not a club. It was not a social club. He was talking about people. That word church is called that people, ecclesia. A people that are separated from the world, called out unto God so he can use them for a special purpose on the earth. The building project is you and I. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. That's where the problem starts. God owns a building, but he commissions men to help him construct. God owns a building, but he puts men in assignment to build for him. He said, we are God's fellow workers. Who are these we? Men and women of God. But you are God's field. You are God's building. Who are these you? God's holy people. The church. God's children. But pastors, evangelists, apostles are like carpenters, medicine men, and all of those team employed by God to construct his house. Verse 10. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each one of us take heed how he builds on it. Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of the building. He's the foundation of the church. It is this particular revelation that Jesus pointed out to Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church. The foundation, revelation on which you build Christianity or Christians is revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if anyone build on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, then he mentions another group of materials, wood, hay, and straw. Each one's work will become clear for the day we declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each man's work, what sort it is.
If your life will be tested by fire, if your ministry will be tested by fire, if your destiny will be tested by fire, will you now build it with wood? If what we build will be tested by fire, how dare we build it with straw? Inside this auditorium now, our human life built with different types of materials. Some, as at now, as I'm here now, right here now, what you are built with cannot stand the test of time. It cannot go through fire and survive. If they unleash fire on you right now, you are going to burn up and end up with nothing. Some of us, the way we are building our churches and ministries, is so sad that in Africa now, especially here in Nigeria, a lot of straw is being used now to build God's work. A lot of hay, a lot of wood. Think about hay, these grasses that cow eats. You go and cut them, sometimes they are dried and put together in a heap. Built with thatch roofs. It's built with hay. Our lives are going to be examined by fire. Your destiny will have to go through fire at certain stage to now come into its finest quality. What kind of material are you built with? This weekend, I'm going to offer you one of the highest qualities of materials used in construction in the kingdom. We're going to deploy it, and I'm going to channel these resources to address your Christian life from foundation up. The worst place to make a mistake is at the foundation. To use straw to build foundation. You want gold. You want silver. You want precious stone. But the dominion mandate is not even silver. It's not even precious stones. It's from gold, diamond, sapphire. It's in that dimension. It's one of the top quality materials you can build any Christian on. If this revelation enters your life, if it enters, if what I'm going to unfold enters you, if this DNA enters inside you, it will reverse all the misfortunes of your life. It will reverse all the limitations that you are facing. It will unleash the potential of the future, the destiny that God has committed into your hand. The Bible said, test and see that the Lord is good. There are a lot of things we hear about, we don't have a clue because we have not experienced it. So we're going to go into precious stones, silver and gold. But because of the assignment I'm given to carry out this weekend, I don't have time for silver and all of those things. We're going to take it from gold up. The highest type of materials used in building in the kingdom. Gold is the lowest. It's from there you move up. Gold is one they use to tar the streets. They use it to make shoes. They use it to make our belt. If you've seen angels, if you read about angels in the Bible, their belts are made of gold. Pure gold. So this weekend, we are going to go after some of this stuff. And as we go, I will, by the grace of God, leading us into the manifestations. These manifestations will cause major shift in every area of your life, your finances, your own personal life. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Okay. This is God's plan for man. Every man. That's what we're going to study this week. The dominion mandate. The dominion mandate. That is the plan God had in his mind for creating you. There is nobody God created to be a failure. There is nobody God created to struggle in life. There is nobody God created to be poor. There is nobody God created to be a beggar. All the problems you see on earth today is a result of the failure to implement this program. The fall of man
is man's fall from dominion. And that fall is what is causing all the chaos, all the problems you're seeing in society today. If you see poverty, if you see a man held by poverty, you've seen a man that is not functioning in that mandate. If you see a man held by illiteracy, you see a man that has lost, that is not functioning in that mandate. If you see a man held by disease, you see a man that is not functioning in that mandate. If you see a man that is tormented by Satan, you see a man that has lost that mandate. I'm going to help you recapture it, and actually, not just recapturing it intellectually, is to recapture it in terms of function. You're going to go back into your mandate, your original God-given mandate, and start functioning from that realm. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's what we've come here to do. Write this down as a guiding principle. God's purpose is eternal. Write it down. The way the Bible describes the purpose of God, the scripture used about three different times. Number two, God's purpose is unchanging and God's purpose is enduring. The scripture talks about the immutability of God's counsel. Immutability means the unchanging nature of God's purpose. When God decides to do something, even if something goes wrong along the line, that purpose he has in his mind has never changed. What he does is that he puts another program in motion to restore what has deviated from the purpose back to it. If God says, okay, let us travel to Abuja, we all enter a vehicle and start. And halfway, the vehicle suffers a flat tire, or the vehicle knocks engine. See how God operates. His purpose is unchanging. It's immutable. His purpose is irreversible. What he will do is, he will set up a program of repair and analyze the vehicle that has broken down, whether it can be repaired. If it can be repaired, he will bring in a program and set into motion a redemptive program, which is what he has done for humanity. A redemptive program is an attempt to salvage something that fell out of line. An attempt to salvage something that was lost, to repair something that was damaged. But the moment he gets the engine repaired, whether he puts a new engine or he repairs the old one, in the case of the redemption of man, we ended up with a completely new engine. We became brand new person in Christ. That's what he called the new birth. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Complete new engine, still living in the same old body. God has not changed the car body, but he put a new engine inside. Now, see what God is doing. Once he gets the car repaired, fixes what has gone wrong, according to the Almighty God, we have to return back to our original purpose. Time to go back, because the purpose of God is unchanging. It's irreversible. I will also add something to it. Write it down. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. When God has called you to do something or given you a mandate, he doesn't change his mind about it. Even if you fall, you are still carrying that assignment. Even if you mess up, you are still carrying that assignment. If you don't allow yourself to be repaired by God, you might never carry it out, but yet that assignment was never withdrawn. Dominion mandate is God's universal human right. This is the right he gave to every human being on earth. No devil, no circumstance has any power to take it away from you. The universal human right is the dominion mandate. The dominion mandate is a calling given to mankind to rule and reign in life. That mandate crowns you a king over creation. It makes you masters over creation. God-given rights that cannot be denied from men is the right to have dominion over creation. It's a God-given right. Okay, what is a mandate? A mandate is an authority to carry out a particular function. It's a permission and an authority. What makes a mandate different from other types of assignment? A mandate is not an assignment. A mandate is an assignment backed by authority. Usually, a government can give you a mandate to go and renovate all the schools in Lagos. Then, when God gives a mandate in the National Assembly of Heaven, He will sit with the 24 elders and the Trinity and pass a decree and put a document, a law into effect to empower the person that has obtained the mandate. Another mandate we have today is what is called the Great Commission. This thing that permits us to go into nations of the earth to preach the gospel, plant churches, and bring redemption to people. That mandate is what gave us the authority to drive demons out of people, drive it out of territories, out of nations. But the original mandate given to every human being is the dominion mandate. The Great Commission is a mandate given to every believer. Non-believers have no part in it. The dominion mandate is given to every man. And I want to say it again, is the universal human right. God-given right. A mandate is an authorization from a higher power, a legal authorization to carry out a particular assignment. That authorization gives you power and authority as well as resources to execute what you are asked to do. If there is a mandate from the federal government given to this man to renovate all the federal schools, secondary schools, boys and girls in the nation, renovate it, the buildings, look into the, and they specify what you are to do. That mandate gives him the authority. The mandate also gives him the resources. A mandate gives you an assignment. Write it down. There are three things involved in a mandate. An assignment, authority to carry out that assignment, and resources. A lot of money, a lot of human resources, a lot of other resources to fulfill that assignment successfully. When a mandate is embraced, the man mandated does not have to worry about money. Money is his least problem. He doesn't have to worry about obedience or submission because he has authority. If he meets resistance, he applies his authority, and that means some principals will be sacked. Some teachers might lose their job. If he needs to shut down a school, he can shut it down just to be able to carry out what he needs to carry out. Help me tell you, friend, you have a divine mandate. It's a dominion mandate. You have a mandate to do, rule over this earth. Tell him you're going to start by ruling in Lagos. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to come in three stages. I'm going to come again, and I'm going to come again. It's a three-story building. The dominion mandate is a three-story building. You build a foundation. You raise the building. Then you put the roofings. And the people start enjoying mind-boggling benefits. And you that have started this, don't break this, don't break the process. Just this weekend itself, you will see what will happen. Okay, this is where we stop. We said a mandate has three elements. First, an assignment, a commission. Second, authority to carry out that assignment. Third, resources. These resources are multiple. Part of it are financial. Part of it are abilities. Inbuilt capacity. Part of it are human resources. Part of it are material. When God commissioned man to rule over creation. He built in him the capacity to do it. And he made resources available to get that job done. Say with me, I'm going to step out of the realm of limitations. Say this weekend, I'm stepping out of every form of limitation. I'm stepping into an unlimited life. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, I want to show you verse 9 and 10. The elders in heaven, these are men and women that have died and gone to be with the Lord. They are human beings like you. There are 24, 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament. An example is Abraham. Old Testament like Moses. Look at the kind of song they were singing. They said, you are worthy. And they are talking to Jesus in heaven. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open his seal. For you were slain. They were talking about his death on the cross. Why is it that they were referring to his death on the cross? Because on the cross, Jesus reversed everything the fall of Adam cost us. It was the fall of Adam that cost us our dominion mandate. That was where we lost it. But it was the death of and resurrection of Christ that restored it. That's why there are two Adams now. In between the two, there are two Adams in our story of redemption and destiny. Why are many people not functioning in dominion? Because most of the softwares that are used in developing their Christian life is based on education, is based on sense knowledge. Sense knowledge is the material you use to build a fallen man. That's what is called wood, hairs, and stubble. Sense knowledge is knowledge that comes through the five senses. That is the new way man learns, the new way of acquiring education or knowledge after the fall. The original way of human capital development is by the application of revelation knowledge. I want to say that immediately so you can write it in capital letter. The software for developing or for deploying the dominion mandate is revelation. Write it down. The software is revelation. It's the highest level of education there is. Education exists at three levels. There is physical education where you build and develop your physical man. You can build muscles. You can become a wrestler. You can become a boxer. You can become anything. You can train yourself to run fast. You can train yourself for swimming. Physical education, where you train the physical body. Then there is mental education or intellectual development, which is the type of education we go to school today to get. Especially here in Nigeria. And 99% of what they teach us there is sense knowledge. Why did I even leave 1%? Because I know there are one or two schools out there that imbibe some aspect of revelation knowledge to most of the schools and the professors and the faculties. It doesn't make sense. The third level of education is spiritual education. That is developing your spirit man. There is a God nature in you. That is the highest part of your being to be developed. The next is your mind. You don't have to do much about the body, but keep the body healthy. You will have dominion. To have dominion, you need to develop the two inward faculties, your spirit and your intellect. There's a third component required when you study. Soon now you will meet it. It's called technical education. We use it to replace physical education. We say physical education, you don't necessarily have to become a professor in that area to have dominion. All you have to do is know how to cultivate physical health. But technical education has to do with training your hands to build things. Developing the type of competencies you need to get the job done in your different field. It helps confer dominion on men. It does. But it's in this order. The world began after the fall, Noah's flood, by the era of physical, where the world was dominated by physical giants. They were everywhere. Most of them were the product of fallen angels, sleeping with women. But they ruled the world, the days of Hercules. And some of those men that you hear in Greek mythology, some of them you hear that their father is a god and their mother is a woman. There was a time on earth when that was actually happening. The Bible attests to that. What did he show in that scripture? Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Anyway, as human beings began to develop, because we started during the era of the caveman, with very little of intellectual development. This is man at the fall, or not man before the fall. Adam before the fall was an all-round champion. He was just growing in those three dimensions and going. But I'm talking about the fallen man now. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them. The sons of God, these are angels, saw the daughters of men. So when the Greeks write about, you see these gods that have wives, they are fallen angels. When you watch some of them in movies, you see the gods themselves are divided. One is supporting this, the other person is supporting this. And sometimes you see one causing a storm, the other one trying to protect the guy from the storm. How many of you have watched some of those crazy movies? These are demons. They are the fallen angels. They do those things. Those type of gods, they have jealousy. They have lust. They have greed. Look at African traditional religion, for example. In my place, there is a god called Ekwensu. Meanwhile, Ekwensu is the name for Satan. And recently, a professor from UNN last year was defending, his mission was the resurrection of the worship of Ekwensu. A professor. That the Igbos have abandoned that particular god, and that Ekwensu, and they asked him, he came on TV, and he was explaining that Ekwensu is a god that kills a person when life is beginning to be sweet. And that's the one he wants to worship. And he was advocating, and a couple of people were following him. A return. And the kind of deities, he used to require human sacrifices. They asked him, are you willing to keep? He said, even if we can't go to that level, but we should be able to supply it other things. But that's what they will say in the public. Look at African traditional religion. When one god is angry with you, watch some of the movies. When a particular representative of a god tells a community that the god is angry, and they try to appease him, it's not working. They will go to another priest who represents another god, and that god will permit them to give them ability to counter the other god. For example, some may allow you to kill somebody while you meet another one that is not into killing, but it's into driving them mad. You see some that even have small sense of justice. You see some that are outright wicked. Jesus, talking about them, he said, when an evil spirit is sent out, he goes to look for seven others more wicked than himself. That tells you that all of them don't have the same level of wickedness. There are some that can't do certain things. They look for those who have ability to do that and partner with them and create demonic synergy in order to have a higher level of doom. There are some, for example, that can prevent bullets from entering human body. These are supernatural beings. When they started sleeping with ladies,
they affected the human gene, and the children that will come out of the womb will just keep growing. When a person gets to 5 feet something, 6 feet, he's supposed to start rounding up. But you just find a guy just growing. Just growing. 8 feet. He's still growing. 9 feet. As one that was described in the Bible, the bed he sleeps on is 18 feet. And 9 feet wide. And usually, they are very aggressive. They are warlike. They are usually very wicked, very aggressive. They fill the earth with violence. It's because of these guys that God sent a flood to destroy the world. Because, of course, they kept marrying and the children kept marrying. So that gene kept traveling around. It gets to a point that it might not produce giants like the original ones who got it from the angels, but it still produces men that are very wicked because these are Satan's allies. Daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they choose. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for indeed his flesh. Of course, the man's lifespan was reduced because of this again. Reduced to 120 years. Okay, look at that verse, which is verse 4. Pick verse 4 only. I want them to see it. Only verse 4. There were giants on the earth in those days. What type of giants? Physical giants. And afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of what? Renown. Hercules, for example. There are many of them you know in Greek mythology. There are many of them that rule. They were notable, influential, powerful people because each one controlled, exercised dominion on earth and controlled kingdoms. A product of a god, I'm talking about small g, fallen angels, cannot live in a society and allow you to be ruling him. I'm going somewhere. How dare you carry the gene of the Almighty God and just walk around in Lagos like ordinary people? How dare you? They will fight. They will do whatever it takes to subdue that society. They were men of renown. Let me tell you what was going on here. Just like one is about to come in these last days. In the Bible, we call him Antichrist. But he's actually Satan's son. The devil is going to try to duplicate the birth of Christ. Now I know how he would do it. It's no more a mystery. It's no more a mystery. Because today now human beings can be cloned. Some leaders, world leaders with moral, with conscience are still preventing it from going full blown. And a few countries out there are already practicing it, allowing it, but in small, because of the influence of America and the West. If you read the book of Revelation, you see that he's going to attempt to imitate death and resurrection. He's going to die in battle and then come back to life. And it's at that moment where he does that, that the whole world will follow him. That's what the scripture said. I know some of us don't read our Bible, but I'm being tempted to go and take you there. But that would take me too far. But that one guy carrying the seed of Satan will rule over this whole world. He's going to subdue governments, presidents.
nations. He will control the economy, control political power, control the military. The only people that will give him headache, apart from the Jews and Christians, are the so-called Christian nations. When you hear Nostradamus prophesy about him, he said, the people that will fight him, because if you read the book of Daniel, he's going to fight a lot of wars. That's actually, he's the one that will initiate the Third World War you'll be hearing about. The Bible made all these things clear. But he's going to fight major battles. And the scripture points out that, you know, because he's going to be a dictator. And America, the way America is constituted now, we're not allowed that. But he's finally going to subdue most of these nations in order to have the global influence. That will tell you how far we have drifted. Because if that is happening in that section, it will tell you how far. Like what I was saying at the beginning. Where people live now. They live in a lukewarm state and think they're all right. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. We still make movies about some of them. They were warriors. Of course, it's hard to find one of them that's not a warrior. Because they have ability beyond the normal man. The last groups were the ones that people like David killed, the Goliaths and all those ones. Goliath also had four brothers who were like him. There were those that Joshua killed. For example, have you ever wondered why God told the children of Israel to come out of Egypt and go to the land of Canaan and wipe out? Now, everywhere the Jews fight in the Bible, they are told to only kill the men of war, preserve children and women. But this is the only war, the instruction is everything that lives must die. Let me give you another example. There are seven of those nations, descendants of these people. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all of them. Now, one time, the particular group called the Amalekites, Saul was told to go and wage war with them. And he was told, kill everything that has been. Why do you think God so hates this particular group of people? You know, a normal person reading it would say, is this not genocide? Is God trying to wipe out a particular race? But I will give you a clue today. I'll give you three clues now. Watch, because we're in the days again. The scripture said they are going to have some repetitions of this. The difference now is that the world has shifted from physical giants, we shifted to intellectual giants. So do you know what they did? A lot of these demons shifted over to that side. That's what happened during the Middle Ages. When they saw that, because mental might is stronger than physical might. When human beings started shifting, you know, in those days, the people that were ruling the world were Easterners. These Asian people had ruled the world before the West. People like the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire. That's where the headquarters of civilization used to be. People like the Persian Empire, these people called Iran, Iraq, Egypt, Mesopotamia, Babylon. These are empires. You're talking about America now. You're talking about UK. These are small boys. These are powerful kingdoms that rule the world. Now, when the thing transited to the era of intellectual power, they found that people who have developed that other faculty outwit even the physical giants. They started killing off these giants because they're able to develop strategies that will trap them. There were a lot of wars in Sparta and in Greece. And then out of that area, these forces again shifted over.
So one of the things they did is that they created an era of enlightenment. While Christianity was spreading and the knowledge of God was moving, they created a counterculture, an era of philosophy. There were some that will come out and declare that there is no God completely. It continued through in Europe till the Middle Ages. Anytime the church stands strong and a revival occurs, they subdue all of this. Whenever the church gets lukewarm, they emerge so much. Do you know who invented communism? Who invented all the isms that have been the problems of the world today? Fallen angels. One of them appeared to a young man that was traveling, a businessman, and introduced himself as Gabriel. That thing he helped him to start is the greatest nightmare of the world today. It has captured close to over 1 billion people across different nations of the earth. When they enter, they start out with being nice until they grow to a certain number. Then they come out and declare jihad on the people who gave them land, who gave them their daughters to marry, who gave them, you know, farmland to graze their cattle, who hosted them. I give you 3 clues. You need to watch out. Number one, anytime you see any human being, anybody that seems to have the flesh like you, but he has hatred for God, a passionate hatred for Christ, take note of that person. He's not normal. You know, children have this special love for their parents, especially their moms, because to that woman carried that child 9 months, even though the child is out, that woman is still nurturing that child. There is breastfeeding, there are a lot of whatever. When you see a child that has this concentrated hatred towards the parents, that child is not normal. Look for deliverance. Don't try to solve the problem by just talk. You need to introduce something else. There are forces behind the scene that actually initiate a lot of the things we see on earth. Number two, anytime you see anybody that has concentrated hatred, special hatred for Christians and the Jews, note that person is not normal. In some cases, they are descendants of the Nephilim, these guys. In some cases, they are not physical descendants, but they have injected their intellectual poison into that person. If he's not carrying the physical gene, he's carrying the intellectual gene. A Hitler, for example, is like the Antichrist that we are waiting to come. The difference is that he is born of father and mother. The particular cult he belonged to. I'm glad they are now making these things open now. They're even showing some of it in Discovery Channel. If you read the book of Daniel, you will read there that the Antichrist will even invent his own religion. These guys invented one where they were in direct contact with Satan. To get out and kill 6 million Jews, it's not just human inspiration. That he hated them because of. The way it works is that Satan has a special hatred for God. Once he captures anybody, he injects that. The third is, if you see anybody that has hatred, I have reduced it to this lowest level now, for mankind, whether they are Christian or not, this being made in the image of God, and he can destroy it without any whatever. Note that person. There's something wrong. You need to watch some of those walls of those and see how blood are being shed like it's nothing.
cow blood. How sometimes a battle, 500,000 people are slaughtered, and you see bodies everywhere, and it's like nothing. These guys, violence, wickedness, their own idea of dominion is oppression, is subjugation, is dominating their fellow human beings, is crushing others, seizing their lands, seizing their resources, seizing their businesses. A man is going to come up in these last days that will hate God, that is with everything he's been. He will hate Christians and is going to seek to wipe out Christianity from the earth. And you know, Hitler attempted it and failed. And he will attempt to wipe out the Jewish people from off the face of the earth. Why is it that I decided to start with the negative before I show you the positive? Because just like they carry the seed of Satan, you are carrying the seed of the Almighty God. But there is a veil on a lot of believers now. They don't even have an idea who they are. You are actually taking the place of Jesus Christ on earth. Everything Jesus was capable of when he was here, you are capable of it. Everything that Adam was capable of before he fell, you are capable of it. You are the one now mandated to have dominion on the earth and to redeem creation from destruction. So you see, that's why this weekend, once I have laid the foundation to a point, I'm going to address a few areas of struggle, like finances. You cannot be struggling financially. You cannot. What you are called to do negates that. You cannot be struggling in Lagos. It's forbidden. It's not allowed. You might think it's normal. And you say, but I've been begging God to change this. It's not a matter of begging God. Dominion mandate is not God's responsibility. It's man's responsibility. When I show you how to operate this tonight, you will see. It's not a matter. The more you even pray and beg God, the more he's annoyed because you are being irresponsible. You don't understand your job. He said, let them have dominion. Please give me amplified version of this. Verse 28. Okay, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. Everyone say afterward. That is the part that you need to be clear. Before the flood, he was writing why God sent Noah's flood. Then after Noah's flood, that's what led to the time of Goliath, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all of that. That's what led to the destruction of the world. Then after the flood again. When the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and they were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Verse 5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and intention of the human thinking was only what? Evil. These are the guys that are polluting the earth. Have you ever wondered who invented ritual murder? How did human being get to the point of thinking at that level? Of using their fellow human beings and collecting their parts. And when they actually do the charm, it delivers some form of result for them. How did they tap into those supernatural stuff? These are the ones that taught it. How did human beings invent gay and sodomy? These are the ones that introduced it. I can show you scriptures. There are scriptures on this. How homosexual activity entered the earth. These are the guys that brought it. There were certain degree of evil that were not here at all, even while man was falling. Do you know that in our fallen state, man used to live for 900 and something years. Adam lived for 930. The guy that even sinned. His descendants, that one of them lived for 969 years, Methuselah. God could allow us here because even though we had that sin nature, there is a limit. You know, unbelievers have conscience. But now, this is wickedness to a dimension that made God even regret creating man. Look at next verse, verse 6. And the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart. What is it that this Satan is after? He cannot hurt God directly, so he tries to hurt him through man that is made in his image. That's how he gets back at God. He damages. You know, when you see your child with cancer, will you be happy as a parent? When you see your grown-up boy Those of you who are parents know what I'm talking about. Your son has graduated. He's been out of school for the last 7 years. He's still roaming about Lagos, jumping Okada. No job. No, no. Will you be happy? That's how God's heart is broken. And if we are left at the level we are, we actually think that God is the one not wanting to bless us. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe he's holding grudge. You don't think the Almighty God is teaching all of us how to walk in love? He's holding grudge. You did something and apologized to him since, but obviously he didn't forgive. So that's why these 3 years now, he has held you down. You get this idea somehow, and it's so bad now that when you see a pastor live in a good house or drive a good car, the mentality of the people is that, no, how can he be driving a good car? Our mentality is that we who are the God's people are the ones that should be without. Then you see some people, when they start being blessed, they start being apologetic about it. They start apologizing or trying to explain. Who should have billions in their account? Who should even have trillions in their account now? Are you ready to shift into the mainstream of events? I'm given a mandate by God to help you step in there. Who should be ruling in every sphere of life? Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Some of the elders that have left the earth and gone to heaven, see what they're saying. And I don't want you to get to heaven and find out that you were actually a king that did not reign. It will be terrible. That's what I see. I see a lot of company owners now staring at me, and some of them are still carrying whatever, looking for job. I see people who have capacity to provide job for 6,000 people. And they are here, see carrying fires. I see people that will be wealthier than Dangote. And some of them right now are jumping more lower. Something has to happen to jolt them back to consciousness. Take note of this. Until you know who you are, you will never become that person. Until you know what you can do, you won't start doing it. Until you know what belongs to you, you won't start enjoying it. The software for dominion is revelation knowledge. The greatest hindrance to functioning in dominion is the absence of revelation. You have educated the other faculties and left the divine nature untrained, undeveloped. There is a God nature inside you. You left that one undeveloped. So that's what causes the problem. That's what causes the problem. There are a few other problems out there, but that is the most critical factor that hinder people. You are worthy to take the scroll to open a seal, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And then verse 10, and you have made us to our God kings and priests. Let me say this. If Jesus redeemed me, restored me to God, forgave my sins, gave me salvation, that is enough for me to serve him forever. Save me from going to hell. Give me back the right to be God's child, God's son. That would have been wonderful. I would have followed him forever. And the truth is that I followed him for years without knowing that there was any other thing extra. As the prodigal son, when I was coming home, I was asking to be treated like one of the servants. I was ready to be one of the servants in the house, because I saw that even the servants are far more prosperous than whatever else I was seeing happening to my life out there. The prodigal son reduced sin, reduced him. This is a,
a son of the wealthiest man or the wealthy man reduced to a young boy that is now feeding pigs and feasting with them. Not only feed swine, he was eating what they were eating. He reduced him to a pig. So when he was coming to repent, to apologize to his father, he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just take me like one of the servants. I don't mind to be working in the farm and eat good food, be paid a good salary. Just employ me here. So Jesus shed his blood, remitted our sin, canceled every debt that we owed, limited every offense, took the punishment that we deserved, and restored back our right standing with God, gave us the position of sonship. And that was big enough. Salvation was enough. But God said, no, my original program has not been altered. My original plan is still for them to have what? Dominion over the earth. You have repaired the damaged vehicle. You have restored, put a new engine into that old engine that failed. You have fixed this car. Let's go back to the original destination that we are supposed to be heading. That's why he made us kings and priests. The dominion mandate is the study of the kingly ministry of the believers. Our kingly ministry. He didn't only give us the calling to be priests, he gave us the calling to be kings. The study of our priestly ministry is another wonderful thing. That's why I'm telling you, this one deal with gold. From there you build with the highest qualities that can be found in the kingdom. Gold, diamond, sapphire. The study of our priestly ministry is so rich. But in the plan of God for the creation of man, he wanted to create a family of kings that will rule creation. So he said, and he has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign where? We shall reign where? What did he say in Genesis? Have dominion over where? Over the earth. So let me kind of, at this junction, pause here to greet you properly. Your Excellencies, I salute. But this is a king greeting another king. This is a conference of kings. Help me extend a greeting to your friends. Help me tell him, Your Excellency, I'm glad I'm sitting beside you here. No. Let me create the picture so you can get it. How many of you have watched the, you know, either this, you know, United Nations having a convention where president, you see President Obama, you see the President of France, you see the Prime Minister of Britain, then you see our guy, President Jonathan. Powerful people in different nations, but when they get to a place where everybody is a king, everybody relaxes. You don't see somebody doing security for another king because what you are into, we are into also. You hear what I'm saying? What I'm about to show you this weekend, I'm operating in it. So I'm not here to tell stories. I'm living in it. It has changed everything. It has given me the greatest heritage that I didn't know was there. I wish I knew on time. I wish I knew on time. There are projects I'm undertaking now, you know. I'm sure by now people will be building the 10th university. Maybe by now we'll be offering Dangote to buy him off from the whole cement stuff. It's true.
But now we should be talking about how many presidents of different countries that are sons. But I'm glad I found out. Oh, especially before gray hair start becoming plaint. I'm very glad. Have you ever seen this signboard? I've forgotten which bank is advertising. The future is Pan-African. You know what Pan means? All Africa. How many of you have seen that? Which bank is that? Ecobank. Everyone say the future is Pan-African. That's one bank that has eyes. Till I go to meet my maker. My job now is harnessing nation after nation. I'm an international citizen. My mandate is a global mandate. Dominion over the earth. Don't be deceived by the tribe you came from or by the family you were born into. Rise above that. You're not an Igbo man. You're not a Yoruba man. Rise above the skin color. The world is your parish. You can create something here that you are selling to the whole world. And the platform, the infrastructure now is available. You can wake up every morning and talk to the whole world. Your voice must be heard. Satan's kids, he said they were men of renown. Jesus stepped on the scene after many years, and at that time, the Romans were in charge. The Greeks have led, you know, and created a new era of intellectual, you know, dominance on earth. And then they handed over to the Romans, and the Romans were combining intellect and might and physical power through war to control the earth. And Jesus launched another realm of dominion, which is the era of spiritual giants. He picked fishermen, imputed inside them the software. He showed them that you can talk to the fish will answer. He showed them that you can do anything you need to do. You don't have to have all the money, cash at hand before you can pioneer something. You want to build a house, you now check how much we have in the account. It says it's 100,000. So you tell yourself you cannot do it because what is in your account is 100,000. He was trying to show them that wealth is not cash. Wealth is value. What can you offer your world? What do you have that your world needs? So he introduced the era of spiritual and intellectual dominion. He spoke about Solomon, that was the wisest man and the richest man. And he told him, he said, greater than Solomon is here. Everyone say that word with me. Greater than Solomon is here. Why? Because God has now opened a new frontier of revelation knowledge. Is the mother of all learning. The bank, the central bank that is the custodian of all knowledge. He has opened the floodgate open and said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That by granting us access to the wisdom of God, we should be able to achieve even what Solomon was not able to achieve. The era that Jesus ushered, he compared it to the era of Solomon, the era of Moses, the era of the prophet. He said, of all that was born of woman, John the Baptist, that was the end of the era, that witnessed the beginning of the new era, is the greatest. But he said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. And I wanted to know what. He did not come to combine physical might like the Romans. His disciples actually thought the Messiah was going to engage in war. in order to redeem Israel.
He didn't. He preached peace. He preached nonviolence. And then they watched him control the forces of nature. What he introduced is the era of supernatural, spiritual giant, spiritual might combined with intellectual might. You have to react any of these two. You are either reacting revelation with education, or you are reacting education with might. Or you are deciding to function only by might and carry muscles and be walking around and just one bullet can bring you down. Or you decide to only carry intellectualism and be a spiritual blind man, like we have many professors of today. So they can come to the class. And teach. And go home and struggle morally, and struggle financially, and struggle in their marriages, and struggle. Some of them are not even in talking terms with their children. I was called in to pray for a professor that slept inside a gutter and woke up in the morning with wounds. He was drunk. And his student helped him. And they suggested to him that I can help him. And so, because of that disgrace, he was in a state where he humbled himself, and I was able to come. And when I got there to take care of the issue, because I asked him a few questions. He can't stop that. The thing is inside him. When I tried to help him, it was not a counseling problem. There were three entities, demonic entities, inside his body. And so when I rebuked the devils to come out, one of them talked to me. And from what that devil said, I gained some insight. So I stopped the process and asked him. I said, "You are not always like this. You couldn't have gotten your PhD if you were messed up like this." And he told me that it was true. He got into this as a doctor. He dabbled into certain things, some aspect of the occult and some other stuff. And one time after leaving his body projecting, he came back and found out that there were other entities inside the body plus him that was entering. He had tenants. It was supposed to be a guide, spirit guide, except that this one that was guiding him loves alcohol. So he had two major problems. He has insatiable appetite for sex and insatiable appetite for alcohol, but he's a professor. A professor in bondage. Jesus introduced the era of the dominance, the preeminence of the human spirit, backed up by a wife, a helpmate, which is a redeemed, or what the Bible calls a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind that is endued with wisdom, backing up a recreated human spirit. That is a man before whom the world will bow. He had control of the weather. He had control of finances. He had control of disease. He had control of sicknesses. He had control of the storms. That image of the second Adam is what you and I are carrying. It's what you and I are carrying. The only thing that can hinder a genuine Christian is the kind of software
the kind of program that's imputed into him. The operating system you came with carries a dominion mandate in it. So don't go and add some crazy stuff, junks inside your system. Help me one more time to greet your friend. Tell him, Your Excellency. You're going to make discoveries this weekend that will alter your life. Tell him, you're a reigning king. Tell him, after this weekend, money will stop being your problem. It will be one of the smallest things you'll be bothering about. Keeping your kingdom under subjection will be a more important thing to you. Yes. I love how Kwame Nkrumah said it to the Ghanaians. He said, seek ye the political kingdom of Ghana and every other thing will be added to you. That's when they were under the control of the white men. So he paraphrased that scripture. Seek ye the kingdom of God and every other thing. So he told them, seek the kingdom of Ghana. Let's fight and get independence. Then good roads will be added. Good water will be added. Electricity will be added. And other things will be added. Don't leave the Nephilim to be controlling the resources of the earth. Lift up your hands. Say, I declare independence from every demonic interference. I declare an end from every oppression in my life. Whether it's spiritual, mental, financial, or physical. I declare an end to it. I take back my mandate. I'm the one in charge here. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm the seed of the Almighty God. My mandate is to have dominion on earth. One thing you need to know about kings is that their authority, which is legal, that authority is released through their mouth. Until they say something, nothing happens. Until a king speaks, nothing happens. But the way the Bible said it is, you are permitted to show them this one. Where the word of the king is, there is what? Say it with me. When a word goes out of my mouth, say it. Something must follow it. Because I'm a king. Said, when I say something, something must happen. Because I have an authority to exercise dominion. You know, dominion is the right to command and to be obeyed. One of the definitions. The authority to command and is carried out. Say, dominion mandate is my right. It's a God-given right. Lift up your hand. Just pray in the spirit for a few minutes. The software is revelation. The software is revelation. The software is revelation. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may behold. Why you sing it? I want you to pray in the spirit. There is something going on here.
We kneel down before you. We worship your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your holy name. We bow down before you. We worship your holy name. We worship.